Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you up until 2 here on the program. We got Heat basketball back tonight, baby. It is opening night from the Kaseya Center. Your Miami Heat taking on the Orlando Magic at 7:30. You, of course, can hear that game right here on 560 WQAM. And you can watch it, if you're not going to be in the building, on FanDuel Sports Network. Son, the voice of your Miami Heat, the original, the OG, Eric Reed, joining us here on the program on the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. You got a special 6:30 pregame show tonight on FanDuel Sports Network. Son, Eric Reed, joining us here on the program. Eric, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
Tobin, Leroy, great
to
be on with you guys.
Good to see you back, buddy.
Hey, great to be on with you guys anytime, but especially on a day and night like tonight.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, Eric, you have an exclusive one-on-one that's airing tonight with Pat Riley. Pat Riley Court being christened tonight at the arena. Any hints, any teases we can get for tonight, like of what Heat fans can expect?
Well, let me just say this. We got to spend I didn't clock the interview, right? It wasn't until like the day later I asked our executive producer and VP of broadcasting, Ted Ballard, I go, how long was that interview? Hour and 20 minutes on camera with Pat. And to be honest with you, I felt blessed and humbled and so grateful to be the person sitting next to him doing this interview, because literally, it's opening up a basketball treasure chest of memories and stories. He's, you know, iconic. He's already in the Hall of Fame. He's, you know, a 9-time champion. He's, you know, the architect of this franchise and this culture that we all know today. And you know, you're going to see they're going to break the interview up into two parts on our hour-long pregame that starts at 6:30 tonight on FanDuel Sports Network. You know, there's a lot you won't hear, but there's plenty that you will. Some of the sound will also be featured in a later episode of Inside the Heat. But guys, you know, basically I'm getting to do that, hosting the halftime ceremony that they're going to have. You talk about a fitting way to start a season, to, you know, sort of memorialize our incredible franchise history over the last 30 years, and to have the official naming of that court, Pat Riley Court, at Kaseya Center. And think about how fitting that is. The guy spent most of his adult life either competing or coaching on a basketball court. And now forevermore, Heat teams will compete on a court that bears his signature and name. That signature will be right alongside the logo modeled after Pat's great friend, the late, great Jerry West. I couldn't think of a better, more fitting honor. You know, Mickey Arison's first incredible idea was to hire Pat Riley 30 years ago. This would be on my top 10 list of great ideas by Mr. Arison since that time. So it's a perfect honor. It's going to be an emotional, meaningful night. And Pat right now, guys, he is in such a reflective, humble, grateful, gracious mood, storytelling mood. So I think, listen, we're all in for a treat to listen to his comments on the interview we did last week and on the live halftime ceremony we'll all enjoy together tonight.
Did you ever get the feeling, because I get this feeling from him, he loves doing the work and he loved building it and being a part of it. But when he took a backstage, he literally pushed all of that onto everybody else. That no, I'm just playing my part. That's Eric Reed. That's Eric, the coach, and
Spo.
That's Spoelstra. Sorry, that's Eric Spoelstra, and that's the players, and they putting in all the work and all the time, and they may talk to me every now and then, but they're doing all the grunt work. How uncomfortable was it? It seemed like he would be borderline uncomfortable to have to go through this, where we're taking him and putting him back in the forefront of all these things that's happened with the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I think he is. Listen, you know, he is a little uncomfortable with it, but he earned this and he deserved this. There are so many parallels, Tobin and Leroy. Think about this. You know, after Pat finished playing, for the Lakers when his NBA career was done. You know, he became the traveling secretary for the Lakers. He was Chick Hearn's color analyst on the Lakers simulcast. And then the coaching change happened with when Paul Westhead took over and brought in Pat as an assistant coach after Jack McKinney's unfortunate bicycle accident. Well, when Pat was named head coach of the Lakers, it was Jerry West that figuratively pushed him into that spot before Pat himself felt he was probably ready to be a head coach in the NBA. And now let's go back 17 years to when Pat Riley did the same exact thing for Eric Spoelstra, pushed him into a position that even Spo would admit he didn't feel quite ready for. But Jerry West saw some things in Pat Riley to make him feel comfortable and confident to put him there. And Pat Riley, you know, one of the examples of greatness is the vision to see and feel things way before the rest of us mortals. And Pat saw enough in Eric Spoelstra, who was the young former video coordinator turned an assistant coach who was doing such great on-court work and player development with so many of the Heat players back in the day. And listen, you know, one of the things that we got Pat to talk about during the interview, and I don't know if you're going to hear this part or not tonight. I've always felt, listen, he was on championship teams as a player. He coached the Showtime Lakers to four NBA championships with one of the most unique and distinctive teams ever put together with Magic and Kareem and James Worthy, Byron Scott. I mean, iconic teams. Then he builds a culture in New York with a Knicks team that was tough and nasty and played with an edge with Patrick Ewing and Starks and Oakley. He left his mark there. But what he's done in Miami, in my view, was always bigger than just coaching. He was the architect of this whole thing. You know, there's very few people in sports or life that can just change the culture of an organization by just walking in the door. I think Bill Parcells is one of them. I know Pat Riley is one of them. Right. There's not Greg Popovich I would put on that short list. But he did all of that. And you know, one of the things I'm going to say tonight is the passage of time is a mystical thing. We all see it in our own lives and how fast our children grow up, right? I can still remember being in the back of the room on the Carnival cruise ship, The Imagination, 30 years ago, when Mickey Arison introduced Pat Riley as the head coach and president of the Heat. Guys, we were like 7.5 years into our franchise history. The charm of being an expansion team had dissipated. The Heat, you remember, traded away all those young players we had developed and drafted. You know, Sherm, Cykley, Steve Smith, Glenn Rice. You know, well, Rice was still there, but most of the Grant Long, mm-hmm. Kevin Edwards, they were all moved on. And we were a team of veteran journeyman players, and we sort of lost our identity until we found it. And it's still that day on The Imagination, you had to use your imagination. It was hard to believe that Pat Riley was coming to the Heat. Everything changed from that moment moving forward. And the Arison-Riley connection at the top has filtered down. Pat is so grateful for his relationship with Mickey and the Arison family. So grateful for the great support he's had from his coaching staffs, from all the guys that played for him. Remember how this started, the trade for Zoe, the trade for Hardaway, the trade for Mashburn, bringing in P.J. Brown, those heartbreaking playoff eliminations to the Knicks with our first group of contending teams. And then Pat, you know, getting Shaq and Dwayne together. The summer of 2010, I mean, when we look around that building tonight and celebrate Pat Riley Court, forget your imagination. Just use your eyes and your memory. And we'll look at all the retired jerseys. We'll survey 7 conference championship banners, 3 world championship banners, and we'll understand this wasn't a dream. This was reality. And, you know, Pat Riley had a lot of help in this, but basically, my long-winded way of saying this, Pat admitted to me something that I felt all along, that this is the crowning achievement of his incredible Hall of Fame life as an NBA person. He's a treasure chest for basketball. At the age of 79, guys, with the 3 championships here in Miami, still not satiated, still wants another, still working so diligently and passionately for another. The man's addicted to winning. He's addicted to basketball and integrity. And I think we're all fortunate as Heat fans or Heat employees, members of Heat Nation, we've all been blessed to be on this journey with him. And tonight we're celebrating his 30 years, and I love it forevermore. The court that Heat players will compete on will bear his name and signature. It's a perfect way to start this season. And what a great idea by Mickey Arison.
Yeah, we can't wait for it, Eric. It sounds like it's going to be an incredible night. Flipping over to the team a little bit, you know, this has been a very interesting preseason with, you know, the way that they seem like they're playing. One of the things that we were talking about last hour a little bit, we were playing this cut from Tyler Hero, and I don't know if you've noticed this, Eric, but he seems, I don't know if it's a maturity or just a mindset change. I see him all the time. We saw this just noticing at Media Day. Smiling all the time, laughing, happy. Like, I don't know if it's a comfort in his own skin or what, but do you notice anything different about Tyler just from a mentality standpoint going into this year? Because it just, I don't know, there just seems to be an easiness to him.
You said the word, Brendan, maturity. I started to see this happen for Tyler last year, and it's ironic. The game he injured his knee at New Orleans, I remember walking off the elevator with him into the hotel lobby, and you know, his points were coming down at that time, right? He was playing a more team-friendly, sort of winning-oriented brand of basketball. We know he can score. It's not about just how many points you score. It's the plays you make to help your team win on a given night. And I felt like last year, right as he got hurt, he was embracing that, and he had changed his game in a very subtle way to be more catered to winning. I think one of the things that's hurting the NBA right now, so many players go to three or four different high schools, two different colleges, or a year or two in college. There's not enough chance for the talented players out there to identify with teams and understand roles and understand it's not just about how many points you score, but it's what you do to help your team win each game that you're in. And Tyler's begun to understand that. And I think now he's fully embraced it. I think he understands, listen, there's only so much you can control when it comes to injuries and availability, but you can sense his determination to want to be healthy. He's stronger and better condition to start this season than he's ever been. And I think his game is just ready for that next level. It's not just about, is he getting his 20 points per game? We're going to see him and Terry Rozier. Listen, they only played in 11 games together last season. It's a brand new backcourt. We got a glimpse of this brand new starting group that didn't start us. We had 35 lineups last year. This one was not one of them, but they went 3-0 in the preseason. I think we all like this starting group. There's pretty serious depth. I mean, we'll see how the backcourt depth shakes out, but everywhere else, there's really good depth with four centers and like an infantry of wing players.
It got bigger this offseason.
I tend to like where we're at because the expectations externally are really low for a Heat team. And internally, there's this edge and chippiness. And, you know, when you get knocked out in the first round and you wear a Heat jersey, that does not make for a comfortable summer. So I think we're in for an exciting season. And guys, think about how competitive the East is. Last year, 2 through 8 were separated by 4 games. 4 through 8 separated by 2 games. Everyone matters. I know we're at the start of another 82-game marathon. Every game matters. And you know what matters even more? Your home games.
Yes.
To oversimplify this season, got to score more. 110 a game was the second most in Heat franchise history last year. It was 26th out of 30 teams in the league. So you got to find ways to score more. And I think Eric Spoelstra and his staff have uncovered some subtle changes to help the offense. Some of it's off a defense that averaged 15 and a half steals a game in the preseason. And you know what the rest of it is? You got to win more at home, guys. 22 and 19 at home was the worst record among the 8 playoff teams in the East last year. My hope for the Heat is try to get to 30 wins at home. It's not easy to do. It's only happened, I think, 10 times in franchise history. It hasn't happened in the last 10 years for the Heat. But if you can win 30 at home, you're ready to win 50 games. And 50 games means you're a heavyweight contender. Only seven teams in the league won 50 or more last year. Only two of them lived in the East, the Celtics and the Knicks. So let's see what happens, but it's going to be a very competitive season. You know, if you want to say New York, Boston, and Philly are the top three, you're even going out on a limb there. You saw the way the Knicks looked last night. Philly starting with Embiid and Paul George not playing. Right. Then there's Cleveland, Indy, Milwaukee, Indiana, Orlando, Miami. It's a cluster, man. It's going to be very competitive, and I think we're going to see a season of compelling matchups.
One more before we get you out of here, Eric. One of the interesting wild cards is Nikola Jovic because of his age, but he looks like a moose. He very much is buying into his role, and it was interesting seeing him the last preseason game because you got to kind of see him not be in the role, take over a little bit. Like, he was kind of attacking John Morant on some mismatches and things like that. What are you most excited about to see with Nico, and what can be the next steps for him on this team?
Well, I think he's going to continue to emerge. You know, a couple summers in a row with the Serbian national team and this year the Olympic team. You see how much stronger he has gotten physically, the weight he's gained. By the way, look at him and envision the same thing happening to Khalil Ware a year, 2 years from now, 15, 20 pounds stronger. But I think, listen, Jovic has won me over. He did last year. He's got size. He's got really high skill level. He can handle, he can pass, he can shoot. He's a decent rebounder. He's an improving defender. He's a ball mover. He's got a great IQ. He sees and feels the game beyond his 21 years and his limited NBA experience. The key for him, he's going to get really good shots. He's probably not going to get a ton of shots. So when you miss a few, it feels worse when you're only getting 5-6 shots a game. I think it's really important. Listen, his main role is a ball mover with that starting group and a rebounder with Bam, but he can advance it himself. I think it's important for not only Nico, but for Rozier and Duncan Robinson. Those are three guys that I thought played well in the preseason, but none of them shot it like they're capable of in the preseason. And even though they're not the main guys, they're the main guys behind the main guys. So they're real important players for the Heat, and I think all three are going to have good, really good, strong seasons.
You guys can catch Eric Reed and John Crotty tonight on FanDuel Sports Network Sun, 6:30 pregame time. You will hear, you'll be able to watch Eric Reed's sit down with Pat Riley in a couple parts. It sounds like it's going to be absolutely awesome for all Heat fans. Looking forward to seeing you tonight, Eric. Thanks so much for the time.
Tobin, I want to drop one on you as I say goodbye to you for now. I just filled out my National Sports Media Association nominees for Sportscaster of the Year for the upcoming year. I got to list five guys, right? I just want you to know you're on my list, brother.
Man, I appreciate that, Eric. Thank you so much.
Dude, your creativity on a daily basis, love your passion for the Miami Heat, but just respect and admire your creativity consistently. So keep up the great work, and I just wanted to plant that seed in your head. Just promise me one thing. If you get nominated and you win, you got to show up at that event in Greensboro, North Carolina.
I will definitely make that happen, Eric. I promise that.
Do the thing.
Appreciate it, Eric. Looking forward to tonight.
Guys, keep up the great work. All right. We'll see you down the road and enjoy the basketball with us.
There you go, Eric Reed.